Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
It's stjohnsbaraboo.org.
There we go. Good. Welcome to St. John's for worship this evening. We are in the second weekend of the season of Advent. Yes, we're preparing for the arrival of our Savior, preparing to celebrate his birth at Christmas, but also preparing for his second coming. And today, God's Word encourages us and urges us to prepare for Jesus with humility. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting two in the front of the blue hymnal that begins on page 172. And being that it is Advent, we are going to have the lighting of our Advent wreath as soon as Keith is able to make his way out here. Keith, are you there? I'm going to go check on Keith. Throughout Advent, we see each week another candle is going to be lit, and the Advent wreath is a tradition that goes back quite a ways in history. There's a couple different ways to name the candles. The first candle is typically called the prophecy candle, and that reminds us of the prophecy that God made to his Old Testament people concerning their promised Savior. The second candle is typically called the Bethlehem candle. And it's to remind us that Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and was born as a baby in that little town of Bethlehem. To begin our worship this evening, we'll sing hymn 323. Please note that the cantor is going to sing the first two stanzas, and then the congregation is invited to join in stanzas 3 through 5. May God bless our worship.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and it proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertle will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke 3, 1 through 6. Our congregation is opening the service by singing the Christian worship hymnal, Creator of the Stars of Night, hymn 323.
Thank you.
Please stand. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. And so let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. And so we have peace with God, now and forever. Amen. We'll sing the Song of Zechariah in place of the Gloria. Please note that the cantor will... We have the Lord have mercy, then comes the Song of Zechariah. Speak the Lord, okay. Yes. We'll join in speaking the words. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. For the Song of Zechariah, the cantor will sing the first verse.
Bless the God, O Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated. First reading from God's Word is recorded in the prophet Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1 through the first part of verse 7. Here God graciously calls on his people to humble themselves and to return to him. Look, I am sending my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, a reference to John the Baptist. Then suddenly the Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight will surely come, says the Lord of armies. But who can endure the day when he comes? Who will remain standing when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like launderer's bleach. He will be seated like a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and like silver. They will belong to the Lord and bring him an offering in righteousness. Judah and Jerusalem's offerings will be pleasing to the Lord, as they were in the days of old, in years long ago. I will approach you to judge you. I will be quick to give testimony against those who practice occult arts, those who commit adultery, those who swear false oaths, those who cheat workers out of their wages, those who wrong a widow and a fatherless child, those who turn away a resident alien. All those who do not fear me, says the Lord of armies. Certainly I, the Lord, do not change. And that is why you, sons of Jacob, have not come to an end. Since the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of armies. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 66C. If you want the music for that, you'll find it on page 328 in the gray Psalter book, not the blue hymnal, the gray Psalter. Please note that the cantor will sing the refrain one time, the congregation will repeat the refrain, and then we'll all sing the whole psalm together. Our second reading is recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. This will be the basis for the sermon today. Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you. Every time I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm equally convinced that it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart. For both in my chains and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all share in this grace with me. Yes, God is my witness of how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray that your love may still increase more and more in knowledge and every insight. This will result in your approval of the things that really matter, so that you will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 3 verses 1 through 6, John the Baptizer urges humility and repentance as he prepares the way for the Savior. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, while Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into the whole region and round the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Just as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And everyone will see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. And we'll sing our hymn of the day based on the gospel we just heard, hymn 316, "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry."
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and peace, they are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our consideration this evening. It's the second reading that we heard from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Dear friends, it's like the star athlete after his team wins the big championship. And the media and the talking heads want to heap all the praise and adoration on him, but he is quick to deflect that praise to his teammates as well. Because after all, if they're not on the field with him, the championship doesn't happen. It's like the big project at work, the one which means a huge contract or a massive sale. And the project lead is brought upstairs by all the suits to be commended for the success of that project. But that project lead recognizes in front of them that there was a whole team of people who contributed to the success of that big project. It's like the graduate who walks across the stage to receive the degree. And yes, there's just one name on that degree, but that degree and the words summa cum laude at the bottom are the culmination of a lifetime of work and sacrifices, not just by that student, but by parents and by teachers and mentors. Credit where credit is due. In his opening words, in his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul says some things, writes some things, I should say, where it sure sounds like there's a lot of praise to be kind of handed around. Both to the Philippians and also to Paul. I mean, let's consider both of them for a second here. First, consider Paul, right? He was writing this letter from where? House arrest in Rome. Why was he there? Well, the simple answer to that is for telling people about Jesus. You see, he had been in Jerusalem. And there were a group of people there who didn't like the fact that he was now telling people about Jesus, and so they found themselves an excuse to whip up a crowd into a frenzy. And the disturbance became so great that the local Roman garrison had to get involved and actually take Paul into custody. And before they realized who Paul is and his legal status as a Roman citizen, they started beating him up. Despite those legal protections that were afforded to him as a Roman citizen. He was put on trial on some trumped up charges, but then he took the opportunity and used his rights as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. Every Roman citizen had the right to plead his case before the emperor. So that's what Paul does. So off to Rome Paul goes, and on the way there, what happens to him? His ship sinks. Off an island called Malta. And so, yes, that trip was a lot less enjoyable than it might normally be. Well, at least as enjoyable as it could be when one is under arrest. And so there he was, under guard, in a house, in Rome, in chains. But even rewind even further before that whole episode in Jerusalem where all this business started, rewind all the way to Paul being on his missionary journeys and going to a place like Philippi and the city surrounding it. When Paul first visited Philippi, do you remember what happened? He got tossed in prison. Why? For telling people about Jesus. After all of this, he is still in chains for the gospel. And so words like admirable and praiseworthy certainly do seem to be fitting for Paul, right? After all, he didn't let any of those trials deter him from continuing his work of speaking and proclaiming the name and the works of Jesus. He was willing to endure it all. And then consider the Philippian Christians, actually. Paul faced persecution when he first came to Philippi, and eventually he moves on from Philippi. But the Philippians, they live there. They stay there. And yes, that means that they had to continue to endure that persecution that had risen up against their Christian faith. But despite that, they didn't let it make them give up their newfound faith in Jesus as their Savior. No, they endured those persecutions. They endured the hardships. And on top of that, we heard about it a few weeks ago. Even though the Philippian Christians really didn't have a dime to their name, and even though they were facing this hardship and persecution, they got together all they could so that they could actually financially support Paul as he continued his missionary journeys, so that other people just like them in other places could hear about Jesus. If you were to keep reading in Philippians and go into chapter 2, you'll hear Paul mention the fact that the Philippians sent to him as he was under house arrest in Rome, somebody to take care of him, a guy named Epaphroditus. And so that's why he starts his letter by saying, every time I pray for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Extraordinary and praiseworthy deeds and conduct from people on both sides of this letter to the Philippians, right? On Paul's part and on the Philippians' part. So where should credit for these things go? You know, maybe at first glance it seems that this is all due to some great strength of character on the part of Paul or the part of the Philippians. Maybe it seems like they should be getting some credit for the perseverance and the determination and the persistence and the hard work and the endurance. But Paul's not going to let that happen in what he writes. Credit where credit is due. Where does the credit go? Examine these words a little closer, and you see that Paul gives their credit exactly where he should, to God himself. He said, I am convinced of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul knew that it wasn't Paul's wise words or his ability to persuade or his character or his charisma that worked faith in the hearts of the Philippians. It was God working through the message of Christ crucified and risen to save sinners. And Paul knew that the Philippians came to believe that message, not because they were such noble and kind and trusting and understanding and upstanding and pious people. It was God working through the message of Christ crucified and risen to save sinners. Credit where credit is due. And God gets the credit. After all, it's not like God just, you know, kind of gives people the nudge they need to start believing in him, and then they take over, kind of like a parent giving the little junior a push on the bike so that junior can learn to pedal and balance on his own, and then off he goes. That's not how faith works. No, God began them in faith, and God would carry them on in that faith until the day when their faith became sight in glory. Credit where credit is due, and God gets the credit. If you need any confirmation of that, just look a little bit later in verse 7. Paul said, you all share in this grace with me. This grace, this thing given, not earned, not deserved. If it's earned or deserved, it's not grace. It's a wage. Yes, it was God's saving grace that changed Paul from being persecutor-in-chief of Christians to being persecuted for the sake of Christ and his people. It was God's saving grace that delivered Paul from being Saul, his enemy, to being Paul, his redeemed child. It was God's saving grace that drove Paul to go on those missionary journeys so that others could experience that saving grace which he had. It was God's saving grace that changed the hearts of the Philippians and turned them from the darkness of unbelief to the light of faith and salvation in Jesus. It was God's saving grace that drove the Philippians to continue to support Paul in his work long after he had left Philippi. It was God's saving grace that drove them to continue that labor of love for the sake of the gospel, that partnership, as Paul calls it. Despite the hardship that they faced, despite the poverty that they had. And it would be God's saving grace that would continue that work. Listen again to verses 9 through 11. I pray that your love may still increase more and more. Well, how is that love going to increase more and more? In knowledge and every insight. Knowledge of what? Anything? No, knowledge of Christ. This will result in your approval of things that really matter so that you will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Pure and blameless? Because of what? Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ. Paul prays not that the Philippians would fill themselves up with righteousness, but that they would be filled. They're not the ones doing the filling, they're the ones being filled. And who's going to do the filling? Jesus himself. And all of this would be, as Paul says at the very end of the text, to the glory and praise of God. Credit where credit is due. We Christians run counter to our faith when knowingly or unknowingly, when intentionally or unintentionally, we make it about us in any way. Yes, when living my faith becomes about me and what I think and what I do and what I face and what I accomplish, then I have slipped into sinful pride and arrogance. And if that's the case, then it would be good for me to heed the call of John the Baptist, repent, change, turn away from that. Because as Paul would later write in Philippians 2, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves but for him who died for them and was raised again. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We love because he first loved us. So if you and I resemble Paul or the Philippians and we face hardship or opposition or suffering for the sake of following Christ, And if we endure it and persevere through it, if we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, if even in our poverty we well up in rich generosity and we give and we give and we give, and if I'm trudging through circumstances which cause even the deepest, darkest sorrow, yet I still have joy in my heart and peace in my mind, it's not because I've worked any of it in myself. It's because Christ has worked it in me. And he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Yes, credit where credit is due. This is all to the glory and praise of God. You know, this congregation has existed now for over 150 years. I believe it's now technically 151. Our school just down the street has existed for almost 100 years. And if one were to consult the historical records of our congregation in this school, there would surely be time after time when maybe you could see Christians who gave and who worked and who loved and who sacrificed and who endured and who persevered. Why? Because God began a good work in them and brought it to completion. Because Christ filled them with the fruits of his righteousness to the praise and glory of God alone. And if we today as a congregation should follow in the footsteps of those who have come before us, and if generations after us it could be said of us that we too worked and loved and forgave and sacrificed and endured and persevered, it will be because Christ filled us with the fruits of his righteousness to the praise and glory of God alone. Credit where credit is due. Not unto us, as the psalmist so emphatically says, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but to your name be glory, because of your love and your faithfulness. So, dear Christians, may God grant that we would continue in such humility that seeks to minimize and hide self and maximize and magnify the wonderful, gracious salvation that God brings in Christ. May we follow the inspired advice of the Apostle Paul and grow more and more in knowledge and in insight, not of what we think and what we say and what we do, but in what God's Word says. Because the result for us of that will be the same as it was for the Philippian Christians. We will then approve of the things that really matter, and we will be kept pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Credit where credit is due, and that is to our God and Savior. And to him alone. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and we'll continue with the prayer of the church. Come, dear Savior, we long for your appearing. Come and cheer us with your promises, as you once cheered your ancient people through their long years of waiting and watching. Come to restore our hope. Rouse us from the slumber of despair. Lift our hearts from petty earthbound goals and direct our eyes above, where you will soon come to make all things new. Come and work in us a godly grief and a genuine sorrow over sin. Forgive us for the shameful way we have dishonored you and the shabby way we have dealt with one another. Through your mighty words, stir up in us a ceaseless yearning to give ourselves to others as you have given yourself to us. Come also to rekindle our joy as we prepare to celebrate your first coming. Don't permit a frenzied busyness to rob us of your peace or to deprive us of times to ponder and to wonder at your word. Set our hearts apart from the hustle and the clamor and the jostle of these days and fill us with the quiet delight of finding you in the manger. And keep hearts and minds undisturbed by the great throng that streams by seemingly uncaring. We pray for those who are enduring great sorrow, for those who are undergoing spiritual trial, and for those whose restless hearts have no knowledge of your coming. Comfort, strengthen, and enlighten them with the sweet peace born of your love, and keep them in the way of peace by your word. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We wait, we keep watch, and in you we put our hope. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you this evening, to please leave that in the alms box in the back. And with that, we will continue our worship with our next hymn, and that's hymn 308, There is a Voice in the Wilderness Crying. Please stand for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. The congregation may be seated. For our final hymn, which is hymn 321, God's Own Son, Most Holy.
This worship hour was from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. It comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station Max FM, 740 a.m. of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast at St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. You may find us at www.stjohnsbeerboo.org to find out the many things that are going on in the congregation. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television producer today is Jed Strobel. This is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
And then we're going to have cookies and hot cocoa downstairs afterwards. Christmas Eve, our candlelight worship is going to be Tuesday the 24th at 6:30 p.m. And then Christmas Day, Wednesday, December 25th, we will worship with communion at 9. There is no New Year's Eve service this year. With that, I do have one more thing, and that is a letter from our 3K and 4K teacher and early childhood ministry director, Miss Johanna Fisher. She says, she writes, "Dear members of St. John's, on Wednesday, December 4th, I received a call from Martin Luther College to serve at their Early Childhood Learning Center as the lead teacher in the toddler classroom. I look forward to my time deliberating this call and my current call here at St. John's in Baraboo. Please feel free to reach out with any words of encouragement or guidance you may have as I evaluate where God will continue to use me to serve His lambs in Christ, Johanna Fisher." So yes, please do that. Keep Ms. Fisher in your prayers and give her some encouragement. And if you have some perspective and some thoughts that you think would be beneficial for her as she makes those considerations, do contact her, reach out to her, share those with her. With that, everything else that's important can be found in the bulletin and in the newsletter. And God's blessings on the rest of your week.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The story that keeps both the storyteller and the listener alive this week on the Lutheran Hour.
That's the work of a prophet, to live and to tell God's story. Because listening to this story makes us human again.
When we stop